Can't you see it? The world powered by solar and renewable energy. Here at Graybar, with years of renewables experience, we live in that world. Get in touch to see for yourself.
We are now ready to depart.
Book your visit at graybar.com. Yep, Graybar does that.
Hey, football fans, for those of you who can't get enough Baldy's breakdowns, be sure to subscribe to Brian Baldinger's The Best Football Show. New episodes drop Monday through Friday, where Baldy breaks down the best games of the week. Be sure to subscribe to The Best Football Show on the Odyssey app or wherever you find your podcasts.
Didn't ask that question.
Oh, did they?
They did.
I'm going to say no.
No, they're not real. Correct. Yeah.
That's the answer about the porn offers.
You get that one. And then the last one, it's funny because Joe's impersonation, Gio doing Joe, comes in there. So the last one, this is 6XXX in the folder zoo. This is Joe, who does a Jets podcast. He does a sports podcast, but you know, a lot on the Jets, obviously. Well, he's got to record it himself. So he had some issues with the recording. And when they finally figured it out and he did the podcast, right, and uploaded it, they forgot to edit out the beginning part. So Joe was caught on a hot mic, and obviously the guys had fun with this.
There's no reason for it. Is he going up, hon?
It's his cat.
I can't take it.
Now, you know how you like to do the whole churn off? However you do that thing.
Oh, my God. This is unbelievable.
Listen to the end of this clip. Oh, boy.
Unbelievable. I got to do this again?
I mean, he's freaking thing. Why does this pop up in a way that... I mean, can you get the cat up here already, Tara? Can we get Ziggy up here? For God's sakes, there's no reason for it. Stupid ass thing. Stupid goddamn...
So,
that's hilarious.
And that was posted.
That's funny.
That is actually one of my funnier ones because you got Joe not knowing what he's doing. You know, it's the new age, and it's not just broadcast. You got G doing the impersonation. Boomers.
He does them so good.
Yes.
The first time I heard him doing, when I sat next to him, I looked at him. As funny as it was, I was really like, marveled by
how he does it.
Yeah.
The Shine one might be his best one.
Really?
Yeah, I think so. Because there
I
are,
could listen to him do Beningo all day.
You do know.
That Hezbollah clip, I was on the toilet. I was on the John laughing to myself. My wife was like, what's so funny? I was like, Hezbollah.
That made it in my, that was my top 10, but that did not make it. Okay. Because I like this one better with Joe. So there you go. My top five moments of the day from 2024 from the Boomer and the NGO program. All right, when we come back, we'll reset. We've got a whole lot more to do, including you if you care to call. 888-808-1019. Willie and Jerry in for Boomer NGO.
It's the Boomer Geo podcast from WFAN.
All right, final hour of the final morning show of 2024. Willie and Jerry in for Boomer and Geo. Built Ford Tough Studio, 888-808-1019 is the number. We have been all over the map this morning, as you can imagine, which has been kind of fun. Before we get back into stuff, since we do have him on the line, I love this guy. Artie in Brooklyn. What's up, Artie? Good morning.
Hey, happy new year, guys. Thanks for taking the call, man.
Yeah, man. What's going on?
So, I mean, what are you going to do? I'm sitting there at a freaking Jet game, freezing my you-know-what's off, not knowing if I want them to win or want them to lose. What the heck? And that seems like the theme for the last 14 bleeping years. I mean, I went to the Darnold when they picked him. I thought that was it. And then Zach, I said, oh, he's the next up Rodgers. And he actually played better than Rodgers. And now the Jets are getting criticized because they're not doing the routine of getting the GM and then going for the coach. And it seems like, I hope that they're thinking the only way to get Vrabel in here is by giving him the whole shebang. Mm. And I think that the way the Jets look, if they don't get Vrabel, you know who they're getting. You know they're getting Rex. And I want to get your opinion on if he does come in here and it looks like the way Rex is talking, Rodgers will be the quarterback. I want to get your take on whether you think it'll work. Because I think it'll work with Rex with Rodgers, but I don't think the following years is the problem with Rex. Developing a team, developing a quarterback, can't do that. He already proved he can't do it. So what's your take on that? And thanks and Happy New Year, man.
Yeah, well, yeah, already you too, man. What do you think?
It's tough, right? Like, I don't know. I think I think he can exist anywhere. I don't think if he depends, you know, like I said, if you know he can put a coach in, he can put coaches together. I think the GM matters. I think Vrabel, as far as him kind of having the ability to deal with Rodgers, I think that's, they both have egos. Mm-hmm. Like Vrabel has an ego. Aaron has an ego. So I think they will make it work because they would have to for the betterment of the team. But if Rex is the guy, which nobody knows, I think he's worthy of the conversation. I think a lot of people, if you used to ask him flippantly, could Rex come back? A lot of people would say probably not. But overall, I think the Jets really have to figure out if Aaron's coming back or not. That's more important because I think that's when you can move. I think they have to have
It's interesting you say that because I think Aaron Rodgers is of the belief that that decision, he's got to decide if he wants to play, of course.
Sure.
But he's even said, like, they got to tell me if they want me.
Right. But there was also a conversation because I think a lot of the narrative, if Aaron had that decision, and I'm always of the mindset, like, Aaron shouldn't have that decision. It should be the Jets' decision if they want to continue on with him or not. If you are going to continue on with him, then the head coach matters next because that head coach has to be in straight alignment with Aaron and somebody that's tough enough to deal with Aaron and everything he comes with. And then you get your GM. So, I don't know. As far as Rex, we'll see. I think that's – I don't know what the percentage is of him actually getting a job. I think that's still too
– All right, let me ask you this way. Is there a coach or GM tandem that would signify that he can't come back? Like, it's just not going to work with him. Like, if they hired X, you know it's over. And if they hired this guy, they want him back.
I think if you – John Gruden, yeah, I think he'll work with Aaron Rodgers. I think Mike Vrabel, I don't know. I don't know. I just don't. I don't know if Vrabel and him can coexist. And not to say there's smoke or there's any past smoke. If I know anything, I don't. I just know Vrabel, if you talk to a lot of people about him, he doesn't spare his words. He's kind of like Campbell. You know, he believes in team first. He wants tough guys, and he wants to run the ball, and he believes in a stout defense.
What about the idea of what this week is like? So the season's been long over. We don't know what the future holds. We don't know who the coach is going to be. We don't know who the GM is going to be. We don't know how involved the owner is going to be. There's so many question marks. You got guys talking about tapping out the other day in Buffalo. What is this week in practice like?
Oh, these guys are done. They're over it. I think after the loss in Buffalo, I think when you had DJ Reed and his comments talking about, hey, man, I'm done here. I'm going to explore free agency. Sauce pretty much in layman's terms saying, hey, you know, I'm starting to see some guys already check out. Even Aaron Rodgers has kind of said it and not said it, like, hey, guys will be evaluated accordingly from what they're able to do on tape these last couple of weeks, and on top of that, how they move around the building. So there's already been speculation about some of these guys, for Christ's sake, saying, hey, this is going to be a new locker room, new team. I'm ready to get on with it.
Yeah, it's just such a... The season,
it's a somber time for a lot of these guys.
Because for the teams that are going to the playoffs, you think about this week and how excited they are to get to the postseason. You've got teams that are still, not that there's many spots up for grabs, there aren't anymore, but you still have a couple of teams that are in it fighting for that final spot in the AFC. Like, there's still life and hope. And for other teams, I mean, it couldn't be more polar opposites where you talk about just trying to wrap it up and get the hell out of here and not get hurt and then look towards next season and a vacation, essentially.
And I've been a part of both, right? Obviously, being with the Steelers, I know what it is to go to the playoffs. Once you get in, there's a new sense of energy. There's a surge, like kind of a surge of energy that comes amongst the team. You feel more focused. You're more dialed in because you know you're one and done if you do not win the game.
Yeah.
On the other side of that, you know, when you're cleaning out your locker, you're saying goodbye to people who you know you never see again. The training staff, they're looking at you like, man, I don't know if you're coming back, but if I do see you around, hey, best luck to you type conversations. And it's somber. It's not a good feeling. Once you walk out and you get in your car, like, not knowing what next year looks like, especially if you're a bubble guy like I was towards the back end of my career, it's weird, man. It's a weird feeling.
No, it's weird, and it has to be because the journey starts essentially in, March, basically, and you're with this group of men, and then all of a sudden it just ends.
Yeah. And you don't know who's coming back and how many and what the team's going to look like and what the dynamic of it is. And when you walk into Florham Park, if you're a Jet, who's running the show? And the rules will be different. And there's so much that you don't know. It's got to be a very strange time.
It's strange for a lot of these young guys who are maybe a year or two into the league because, you know, they're like, if you're a Breland Allen, right, who just got to the team, yeah, you had a productive year, but you may have a new quarterback. You may have a new coach. There's so much that you don't know, and all you can do is really prepare in the offseason to be the best best you can be, but you still want some continuity to come back to, right? You still want some familiarity, and that's not an option right now. A lot of that is bigger for some of these young guys, and that's tough because a lot of guys, when they go into the offseason, they're at least optimistic about what next year could look like mm-hmm. for them, especially their team. If you're a young Jet guy right now, you're like, man, I'm just happy to be here, man. I'm just happy to have a job.
Yeah.
That's a lot for a young guy who most, you know, if you're, you know, even if you're the Niners right now, they've had a lot of success, but there's still optimism along the road. There's just a hope next year we're going to get this thing right. We're going to do what we need to do, and we'll be back where we need to be. If you're the Jets, you're not saying that.
Right. Well, like we pointed out before in the Super Bowl, you weren't very interested in. The 49ers were just, I'm just kidding. We're just there and have been a very good team for a long time now, and they still have really good players hit by the injury bug, and you would expect them to kind of be back to that level next year. Teams like the Jets and the Giants, there's so many uncertainties. But here would be the positive I would give you if you are a Jet fan or a Giant fan or whoever the fan might be of a bad team. When you look at teams like Houston last year, when you look at teams like Washington this year, whether it's the coach, the quarterback, the combination, it really can. It doesn't have to be this monster rebuild that takes five. It can turn over pretty quickly.
And I think the Washington example is the best. I remember watching the Commanders when they had Jacoby Brissett and some of the no-name guys that I've never heard of kind of run up and down the field yeah. against the Jets. And I was like, man, this team is – it felt like they were like 5 years behind. It took one guy, Jaden Daniels, a new head coach, and boom, they're going to the playoffs. And you're looking at the Washington – the whole organization in another light. Like, all right, they finally arrived. And I think that's what Jets fans are craving. Like, we want to feel like we arrived. Even if we don't make – even if we don't go to Super Bowl, but to be in contention.
That's like, a step.
Listen, the Jets season was over before Thanksgiving. That was brutal. Like, you know what I mean? Before Thanksgiving, the Jets season was a wrap.
The Mets and Yankees, I think, were playing more relevant baseball further into the fall than the Jets and Giants were.
100%.
Which is unbelievable to think that that's where we are going into a season that had, you know, the Jets, there was hope again. Dummies like me thought they were going to have a big season. I didn't know what the Giants would be. I thought they would be, I always said I thought the Giants were going to hover around 500. I was way off on that. But I thought the Jets were going to be really good. And they weren't. And the season was over before it started.
Hey, what's wild, too, about the Jets season, they everything they needed, they received.
I know. Everything the fans wanted, the owner gave you.
There's, for the fan, like, you can't write a longer grocery list and Woody gave it everything. Mm-hmm. I mean, Hassan Reddick, Devontae Adams, you fired the head coach.
Let me ask you something. Not to interrupt you, because you just hit on something that I find Al asked a very interesting question a couple of weeks ago, and that was the Woody sell the team theory has now been out there. We've heard it loud and clear the last couple of months.
You've been screaming it.
Correct. And so you just brought up something very interesting. Like Al said to me, he says, you know, the fans wanted Aaron Rodgers. The owner said, go get Aaron Rodgers.
They did.
The fans wanted Hassan Reddick. The Jets went out, got Hassan Reddick. When he didn't come here, the owner went and got and brought him in here.
Yeah.
The fans wanted Rob Saleh fired. And I hate to say that, but that is true. He essentially fired Rob yeah. Saleh. Yet here we are. None of what the fans wanted that the owner did worked, and now the fans want him to sell the team. Now, it goes deeper than that, and I know that.
Yes.
But in this standalone season, I think his point is, and it's a good point, that the owner did what almost every fan wanted, and none of it worked.
Yeah, and that's why I give Woody some grace, because at the end of the day, he can't do no more than what he already did. And I think what's frustrating moving forward is watching him get out of character, right?
The binging, I agree with that.
Firing Rex Hogan, let go of Joe D. Like, that's when it starts to seem like, man, this is mm-hmm. really getting ugly. Like, we're going into no man's territory. And it doesn't seem like he's – and now you bring in Lombardi and then 33 1/3 and that yeah. whole situation. Now you're giving them the a la carte to kind of run the show and really figure this thing out. And then people are just like, where are we? Like, what direction – where are we headed with this, right? You hired somebody you fired who once was in that position. And there was a reason you let him go. So, like, where are we going?
And I've sit there. I've said this to you before. I think off the air. Hire Mike Tannenbaum again. Like, instead of him running the... Hire him then.
Go get him.
If you want him. And my point with Woody was, you know, if you're going to be the GM, be the GM. Like, I think Jet fans get this, even though he did a lot of what they wanted, it's like the owner's not supposed to be doing this stuff. You hire people to do this stuff. And if you're going to do it, then pull a Jerry Jones and make yourself the GM and the owner.
And that's unnerving for a new head coach, too.
Sure.
Right? If you're a new head coach stepping into that position, you know, you don't want to hear the guy up top stepping into roster changes and how to operate a roster. And, like, that's not what you do. Now that's a possibility because Woody has done it, especially with benching guys, right? Like,
it's been a bad year for him.
Yeah. So
year.
if you're a coach who's established and feel like I know what I can do best, I don't want to fight that dog because you're never going to win. You're never going to beat the owner.
Not the guy that controls everything. No. You are not wrong. All right, when we come back one more time for 2024, we hear from Chris Lopresti. You as well, 888-808-1019. It is Willie, Jerry, in for Boomer and Geo on the Fan and CBS Sports Network.
It's the Boomer and Geo podcast from WFAN.
I think that's a crap list, by the way. Crap list.
Crap bowl.
It is Willie and Jerry in for Boomer and Geo. Bill Fortuff Studio. I don't know where he got the list from, but the list of the top 10 fast food chains in the country.
Yeah.
Del Taco number one, KFC number two, Chick-fil-A number three, In-N-Out number four, Hardee's number five, Captain D's number six, Taco Bell number seven, Popeye's at number eight. Number nine is Zaxby's, and number 10 is Arby's.
I've heard of most of those.
No Wendy's, list eliminated.
Well, Jerry, we live in a bubble. We're very insulated here in the Northeast. No, there's a lot of the country. We don't know what goes on there.
I understand. Wendy's is national. Del Taco's not. Is Del Taco around here?
It's national, but I guess people, they view
what's
it
your
as,
favorite?
As like mid, you know, default.
Mid?
Mid. It's one of those.
We're starting a new language?
I'm not. That's one of those like.
What's fire, CeeLo?
Yeah, fire.
What's
Slay? Slay's one. Yeah.
So stupid.
Yeah.
Where is there a Del Taco around here?
Don't know.
No idea. Probably 700 miles away.
Right, okay, that's what I'm saying.
Let's see. DEL?
But In-N-Out Burger is really West Coast, too, which I've never had. I wouldn't know.
In-N-Out, they don't even have on the East Coast, do they?
No, it's mostly West Coast.
Del Taco?
Yeah.
It's number one.
Yeah. Let's see if I can find the nearest location to us.
Are you? I think Ohio is the near that or Virginia, whichever one you can drive to.
What's
fast.
Your favorite fast you food, dear CeeLo?
I like Moe's. I'm a big Moe's guy.
Southwest Grill.
Yeah.
I shouldn't ask you.
Sorry.
I knew you was going to say something silly like that.
Why is that silly?
Moe's?
Yeah, like Moe's.
Why?
People swear by Chipotle. I'm a Moe's guy.
Chipotle ranks.
I'm a Moe's guy. Sorry, I don't know what you want me to do about it. This is bad. Del Taco, the furthest you can search for a location.
Disappointing his dad.
The furthest you can search is 20 miles. I mean, you got to give me more than that on their website.
Oh, that is weird.
Let's see. Alabama, Arizona, Florida.
It's not a lot near here.
Yeah.
Mm. Oh, I'm sorry, Fleeks. He's like, of course, I told you. It's Ohio or Virginia. I guess I was making sure you're correct. And it looks like you probably are. All right? So there you go.
I'm going to walk out of him now.
I got other things to do. No, I don't actually.
Freaking do them. very interesting list, but Wendy should be on the list.
Had anybody heard of Captain D's before Willie said that?
I didn't know of half of the things of he just D's. Mentioned.
It's a southern thing. So south. I've seen them. They do fish.
They do fish.
Sorry.
Yeah, I wouldn't know the fish thing.
Yeah?
Mm-mm. Yeah. No, not a fish guy.
Not a fish guy?
Nope. Just at shrimp. All? I like grilled shrimp. That's about it.
Like fast food or in general?
In general.
Not a fish guy. All right.
I've tried. None of them appeal to me.
I love seafood.
Me too.
Yeah.
Have I redeemed myself a little bit?
No, not at all.
Well, redeem yourself now. You've got 15 minutes to kill it.
Okay, because there's a lot to get to.
Good.
I'm going to fire away. We're brought to you by Hard Rock Bet. Download the Hard Rock Bet app and roll with us. Also brought to you by Town Fair Tire. Nobody beats Town Fair Tire. Nobody. Yeah, we're going to try to go rapid fire. A bunch of leftover stuff to get to. A couple more from Dan Campbell after his Lions outlasted the 49ers in Santa Clara last night. 40-34. They improved to 14-2. And they finish off the regular season unbeaten on the road.
Franchise record. All right, 8-0 on the road, which tells you at its worst, we can go anywhere and win, gentlemen. That's the bottom line.
Now, if they win Sunday night at home against the rival Vikings, they won't have to go to play anywhere else except New Orleans for Super Bowl 59.
Listen, you can't ask for anything better to be able to have the division and the one seat on the line back at home. Guys, this is what it's all about. This is why you're in this profession, man. It's as good as it gets.
Dude, it's amazing.
We're so thankful for this opportunity. This can be unbelievable.
Go ahead, Chair.
If they lose, which is not crazy to think that they could lose.
And they go on the road.
They'd have to go to, as it sits now, Tampa.
Yeah.
Tampa. Tampa's scrappy.
No, that's not what I'm saying. My point, like, they've been the best team, in my opinion. They've been the best team all year. And yeah. I know what the Chiefs are. To me, they've been the best team all year.
I agree.
The notion that they would not even have a home playoff game and have to go play on the grass in Tampa.
Yeah.
It's just it's nuts to me, but I guess that's the way it goes.
At least on the grass in Tampa, in theory, the weather should be mild.
I know. I just, they're such a better team to me. And Tampa's dangerous.
That's where I was going, because you brought this up earlier in the show. Like, people forget that last drive, if Baker doesn't throw that pick,
they win.
They're going to win that game.
I don't
disagree. Against a very damn good Lions team.
I guess when I think of a 14, I know there's one more game, but a 14-2 team in all of the years watching football, the idea that the number one seed is not locked in is crazy.
This shows Josh Allen the division.
Yeah, I was going to say, I mean, you got three teams in there, double-digit wins, and three head coaches with very different personalities, I would say.
Just for clarification, they have Minnesota, right?
Yeah. Lions, Vikings, Sunday night Ford Field for the division title on the one seed. It's all on the line.
Minnesota's hot right now.
I haven't looked. What happens if they tie? I guess
Detroit beat them earlier.
So they get the tiebreaker.
So they would have the tiebreaker.
All right, there you go. On the other side of that game last night, quick mention, elbow trouble for Brock Purdy late in the game to the point where he said he felt his arm was like it was on fire.
Oof.
So couldn't throw on the sideline, but apparently the surgically repaired UCL is okay. They are concerned about possible nerve issues. You may not see him for San Francisco's season finale after they fell to 6-10. I mentioned this yesterday. It was a fun play-by-play call from our guy Ian Eagle on CBS as they had an unexpected visitor in Tampa. We mentioned Bucks. Well, they were playing the Panthers on Sunday.
There is a bird on the field. Quack, quack. And Hacker has it blocked. Tampa Bay's got it. Scoop and score. Jay Russell. Buccaneers doing it from all angles.
Ian, so smooth. Leagues is right. Ian or Kevin Harlan in that spot. Probably the only two with the bird on the field into the block punt return for a touchdown.
Pretty good.
And everything goes according to plan.
By the way, Noah Eagle will join us tomorrow morning at 9 a.m.
Very nice.
How about that?
Okay. No travel for Noah, I guess, this week. Or he's finding some time in his busy schedule.
Well, I wanted to have him on this morning, and that was a no.
Oh.
He was traveling.
He's a busy man.
But tomorrow, 9 o'clock.
He is a busy man. Bill Belichick, also a busy man. He was at the McAfee show yesterday, so still doing all of his media obligations for this season, but also recruiting at the same time, now that he's the head coach of North Carolina. So how's that going so far in Chapel Hill?
A lot of people contacting us, want to come to Carolina. My Instagram account's been busy. So scrolling through that, I never thought I'd be saying that, but here I am, you know, joining the 21st century. So that's been good.
Growing up before our very eyes. Maybe his girlfriend's helping all that. What are they once? It was Snapface and Insta something.
Insta-chat. How much do you believe that his kids are now saying, like North Carolina is for me? You think that's a real?
I do.
You don't think that's kind of like a selling thing? Like, no, we're hot right now.
Well, plus, they're going to pay.
Correct.
So that should help.
And I think kids are going where the money is.
Mm-hmm.
There's zero sense of team building now.
Yeah.
I agree. Is basically every year is a year.
Which is so anti-Belichick when you think about it.
Yeah.
I mean, that is just not at all in the NFL.
But he's going to run a pro program.
I get that.
And he wants to win.
Yeah, but the reason I asked the question, and I should have said it, asked it better, because of his personality, how many kids would be intimidated by having such a coach who you know is stern?
Well, I mean, more than a Nick Saban?
Yeah, that's what I was going to say.
I think Nick has at least shown that there's a lighter side of him.
I think we've seen a lighter side of Belichick.
We have.
Yeah.
Okay.
I think this online stuff, I think all this internet stuff he's done, the podcast,
these interviews,
I think you have seen the fact that he's not this
stoic type.
Yeah, he's a normal guy.
And if you looked hard enough, you knew that was there when he was coaching the Patriots, not in his day-to-day press conferences.
No, just watch him talk about his old Giant teams or just great players.
100%.
And he lights up a room.
Yep. But Ingo, with the afternoon show yesterday, it was Tiki and Marash in for Evan and Joe assessing the aftermath of yet another Jets disaster.
They are now the worst franchise in professional sports. You know, that for 20 years, it was the Knickerbockers, right? The Knicks for 20 years was the worst franchise in professional sports. Jim Dolan was the worst owner. Now it's the Jets and Woody Johnson.
Now, with that said, now they've got a hit on this next GM head coach duo or else.
There is no gray area here. They have to get it right because I can't take it anymore, Teague. You know, I'm at the point now.
Are you done with Aaron?
No, I'm not. But I'll put it this way. I'm not. Look, he stunk yesterday.
Yeah, he did.
Awful. He was terrible.
Yeah, he was terrible. Yeah, let's run it back with him, though, and just, you know, get rid of everyone else.
I want Rodgers back, but I'm at the point now where if everybody goes, I don't even care. Because it's so important to change. You know, I hate the word culture. I like to use the word karma. Right. It's so important to change the karma of this franchise.
There you go. I couldn't even get to the Costello stuff because we have more recent Joe audio here from yesterday.
I do love the fact, though, and Joe's not like any different than anybody else. This time, we have to get, right. If you go back the last 25 years, they've been saying this since Parcells.
And how many times he said, I can't take it anymore? Every You've been time. Taking it since 1969, let's right, exactly. be honest.
Right so, in the Keystone, yeah. exactly.
yes. I mentioned Foster Moreau yesterday from the Saints. Now, I don't have time to play all of them, so I'll just play one. Mm-hmm. And this is after the Saints lost to the Raiders. It's a lost season for them. But sort of preaching on the idea of, you know, players go out, you got to play late in the season. You don't tank. You shouldn't mail it in. You shouldn't give up. And he gave some of the thoughts behind that philosophy in this particular clip.
You have to play because this is, you know, this is your resume. And I hate talking about resumes. I hate the man that's talking about their resume is out of a damn job. Like, that's a fact.
And he said something along the lines of, like, people say, you know, play hard, not, or play smart, not hard. And he goes, no. You got to play hard first, and then the smart stuff can come in, and you got to play for the logo and the name on the front and all that. And he was kind of, I wouldn't say so much criticizing his team, but I think talking about how they needed to get back to that. Mm-hmm. So it's been an odd year for them, obviously, the coaching change midseason, which they seem to respond to better than the Jets did. Darren Rizzi's done a better job with them.
Like, he's got a better handle on what he's doing.
Yes, and it's interesting. It seems the special teams coordinator, for whatever reason, stepping into that interim role seems to be more comfortable than the offensive or defensive coordinator.
Because all of a sudden, the offensive or the defense is neglected.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Could be part of it.
So maybe Olbrich wasn't lying when he said he didn't see much of Rodgers Sunday because he was too busy making defensive adjustments.
Who knows? I don't know that I buy that, but you never know.
Yeah, that's true. Let me give you LeBron.
Yeah.
At 40, discussing retirement when he might call it quits.
It won't be because I can't play this game at a high level. It won't be because of it. Because, to be honest, if I really wanted to, I could probably play this game at a high level for about another... Weird that I might say. How about another 5 or 7 years if I wanted to?
I don't doubt him.
No?
I don't doubt him. He's 40. What is he now?
40.
He's 40 now. I know he took a couple of games off last week and the week off.
A lot of guys
playing at such a high level now.
5 to 7 years is a lot, though.
Okay. 3 to 5. I mean, we saw Tom Brady play in the NFL. It's different. I know it's different, but he was 45 years old.
I get, look, he's a freak of nature.
He is.
I do understand that.
I would put nothing past him.
All right.
I just want him to say that he's ready to retire, that he's burnt out. He's been in the spotlight since he was 13 years old.
That's a little different.
Yeah, that's different.
But if he wanted to play, I would not doubt it.
Follow up here, what happens if he retires and then regrets it? What then?
Is there any chance you'll walk away and miss it? Of course. Hell yeah. What? And come back. Yeah, I mean, like Brady did it, Jordan did it. Oh, and come back? Oh, no. No. But I will miss the hell out of it for sure. But no, I won't walk away when I come back. No.
I mean, most guys. So who's the guy who said, yeah, you know what? I'm going to retire. Nobody. I might come back.
Nobody.
We'll see.
He has so much going on. I don't think he would miss it.
Oh, he'll miss it.
How would you not?
Well, I think between the movies and now looking at the Bronny, I think that he has a lot of things that he can. Yeah, you're always going to miss the game as a professional. But to the point where once you walk off, like I want to get right back in. I don't know that's not necessarily true.
Yeah. I'm not laughing at you, Willie. That's fine. Sorry.
It's okay.
Funny comment. Anyway, I've been neglecting the Rangers most of the morning.
Yes, you have.
Understandably so. Let's give you a little of that. Last night, as they were in a 3-3 game in the third period in Florida, they give up the go-ahead goal. They got a power play late, 6-on-4, decided to pull the goalie, and then as the power play expired, it came to an end.
Power play is over at 6-on-5. Rangers dead is empty. Puck comes loose. Miller.
Just hear the Sam's voice.
Yeah,
there,
I know.
Keandre Miller, we came up with a good idea.
Bring back Sam for home games next year. Not going out like this.
Yeah, I mean, he's doing the goodbye tour on the road. It's not his call. I mean, franchise is doing that for him. So, yeah, let's do the home games.
Bring Sam back for next year.
I like that.
Start the movement.
I think we should give him a call and see if we can effort that and get it going.
We can't even get him on.
Not on the air, but off the air.
Yeah,
you know, he is responsive.
Yes, he is.
Certain barriers that don't allow him to join us.
I'm aware.
That's 15 out of 19 losses, 7 out of 8 for Peter Laviolette's team. There were some good things in this one, but still 0 points.
Is there any chance you'll walk away?
That's where it's at right now. We did enough to win the game. We did enough to lose the game. And it is frustrating because you feel like you're doing more good than you are bad out there. But at the end of the day, it's not showing on the scoreboard.
They were 12-4-1. Does that sound right?
Sure. Something like that. They got off to a great start,
I know, as we discussed.
It was a little smoke and mirrors to some extent. I mean, last night, I'll say it this way. Right now, their opponents don't have to play their best hockey to beat the Rangers. And the Rangers can play, in theory, a good game for them and still come up empty.
And that's quite the indictment.
Yeah. They finally get a power play goal last night.
Do they just hate Peter Laviolette?
No, I don't.
What is the problem?
They hate the coach at all. Now, he ultimately might be the guy that goes, because what else are you going to do?
This was the best team in hockey last year in the regular season.
Think of it this way. So they play the Panthers last night. It's basically 7 months since that series ended, the East Final. Yeah. You take out the 4 months of summer vacation. In 3 months of playing time, they've gone from President's Trophy winner, semifinalist, to one of the worst teams.
That's what I say. I don't understand.
I don't think anybody does. I'm not sure they understand.
Makes no sense.
Outside of they have some guys that, you know, are on the softer side and it's not going their way. Sean Avery's been having fun at their expense.
I'm sure he is.
He had a quick one last night. Do you remember when Ben McAdoo changed the haircut?
Oh, absolutely.
The Benny with the good hair and the Beyonce song.
How could you not remember that?
Was a quick one from Avery. Mika Zibanejad has been in his crosshairs. Mm. So.
Mika with the dry hair, ladies and gentlemen.
He's got the long hair. It's funny, I never thought of it this way. You know, hockey players are out there, they're sweating, they smell. Mika's got these long flowing locks, and they're always dry. Why is that?
I don't know. That's interesting.
I don't know. One last thing before we get to moment of the day. Yeah. This was kind of cool. Flyers Kings in LA, I think Sunday.
Okay.
Will Ferrell in attendance.
Oh, I did see this.
Dressed for the occasion, as we found out on Kings television.
Well, if you've been to Crypto.com Arena over the last few seasons, you know that Buddy the Elf is a huge Kings fan, but we've never, ever seen him like this. I stopped by just to check in on him. He's smoking a cigarette rinkside. He's got a 5 o'clock shadow, looking a little bit disgruntled. Said it was a tough holiday season, you guys, and he's looking for a Kings win.
Full Buddy the Elf.
I saw it. It was very funny.
There, right down at ringside. So pretty funny stuff there from Will Ferrell. Another thing I didn't bring up at all, there's been a little bit of an update to this Roky Sasaki situation. Yeah. As teams are pursuing him, I guess upwards of 20 teams have been interested. And his agent, I'm not sure who he was speaking with, but he said in dealing with this guy, seems very different from some of the other Japanese players that have come over as far as what he's looking for in a team. Like, other Japanese players on the team, not necessarily location, not necessarily, but more about how the team can develop them, their pitching program, so on and so forth. So we'll see what that means for the Yankees or the Mets. The West Coast has obviously had a little bit of an advantage when it comes to the Japanese players. Now, he can't sign for the big money the way Yamamoto did, so that'll make it kind of a little bit more of an even playing field. But you still got a couple weeks before he'll be in the window where he can make a decision. Something to keep an eye on.
Did it say at any time when the Mets or Yankees would talk to him?
The only thing it said was that he met with a set few number of teams.
Okay.
There were no names mentioned as far as who those teams were. But I would venture a guess that one or both of those teams were on the list. So something to keep an eye on as we move into 2025. And with that, let us do Moment of the Day, Jerry and Willie. So I was a little late coming in from one of the breaks into my segment, which gave Willie an opportunity to tell us a little anecdote about an experience he had yesterday.
He was flying in here. And here he comes. I'll see if we agree on what I picked.
I was hoping he didn't come in. I had a story to tell you.
You can tell your story. He's got to get set up.
No, I think it's kind of a long story. I don't want to waste CeeLo's time. It seems like he's already in a panic.
Well, but he's here, though. No, we've got plenty of time.
Yesterday I took the kids there. It's a little dinosaur museum kind of theme thing. Theme park situation in Edison, New Jersey, right?
You were in Edison?
Edison.
The land of Eddie Scazzeri.
Do you live in Jersey, by the way?
Yeah, I live in Jersey.
Okay, cool.
Yeah. Anyway, so the kids are having a good time. You know, they got like these animatronic dinosaurs where they move around, and there's little like these little booths for the dinosaurs. And there's like bouncy houses where the kids go crazy. So me and my wife split up, right? Which is great. She takes the girl, I take the boy.
Oh, I think you're getting divorced.
I got nervous. No.
Wait, what?
I guess that Christmas gift really didn't go over.
What a subtle way to say it.
Split up in front of the T-Rex. We didn't call it quits in Edison, right?
Oh, man. A sense of relief for all of us there. By the way, what did you end up getting the missus for Christmas? Thing. We had a big discussion what about happened? That on the air last week.
We talked about it. We're going to do a Broadway play and
dinner. So she did have a gift for you.
Did she have a gift for me? No, she didn't.
Well, then why did you bring out your gift? Your gift was only supposed to be in reaction if she had a gift.
That's how this whole thing started. Deferring to the
you're
second
right.
half?
I think I did. Right. I just perched that. I didn't even... I just realized she didn't give me a gift.
Wow. All it that was, you it overthought was, it. You were convinced.
I stood up to 3 a.m. building my daughter's dollhouse.
Careful
when
now.
She woke up and... She stepped all over, and I was defeated. I was defeated after that, and I didn't actually pay attention to anything I received. I think my brother got me, things that make carbonated water, just sparkling soda. Okay. He gave me one of those things that was nice.
Soda Stream.
Yes, he got me one of those things, and that was about it. That's the only thing.
Nobody
I received.
Nobody got you a karaoke microphone.
I would have lost my mind.
That would have been a great gag for you this year.
She didn't give me anything.
You were convinced, even though she said she wasn't, that she was going to. That's how we ended up talking about what you needed to go and get for her.
Yes.
She duped you.
Yeah, she had a lot on her plate. I'm going to give her the kids were
a yourself.
Lot. Yeah.
Did your gift at least go over well? Was she appreciative?
She loved it. She was like, yeah, we do need some time away from the family. Mm. That would be good, so. But now I feel like I was robbed. Now I feel like I was in a good mood till you said something. Now she has a fight coming at her.
No, you tuck that away.
Okay.
And that's an IOU for down the road somewhere. That's what you do.
Okay.
You pull that out when you need it. Say, hey, by the way, just a reminder.
Christmas 2024. You got me nothing.
Right.
I just realized I didn't get anything until you asked. I was like, why did
I? Oh, boy. I see him getting angry. The rage is coming into his
eyes. No, because I was concerned, right? We talked about it. It was cathartic that I was able to kind of vet that through you guys. And now I'm saying, like, if I put in the effort, I know you had the kids, but
she actually meant what she said this year.
You're getting nothing.
Right? You're getting nothing.
Then you got nothing. All right, Chris, we'll see you tomorrow.
Yeah.
All right, when we come back, we've got more to do. We'll wrap it up. We will, we'll do that. I was about to say we're going to do the moments of the day, but we did that already. So we're not going to do it again. It's Willie and Jerry in for Boomer and Geo on the Fan and CBS Sports Network.
It's the Boomer and Geo podcast from WFAN.
All right, 10 in front of 10. When we come back tomorrow, it will be the year 2025. How about that? It is Willie and Jerry in for Boomer and Geo. Real quick, I met a guy on, I guess it was Saturday, Sal in Staten Island. Who used to be an old coach. He was there to see his nephew. He was at Monsignor Farrell High School in Staten Island where my son
played against Monsignor Farrell.
Did you really? Yeah. Really nice facility. So my son's team played in a tournament there over the weekend. And so this man, Sal from Staten Island, came up. He watches the show. So we got to talking. I mean, he said he called once. I'm like, you should call this week. I got Willie Colon in. I'm like, he's like, yeah. I mean, I'm like, no, it's easy to get through. I'm like, just give us a call. Where is he? He says he watches every day. No Sal in Staten Island.
I don't know. Maybe get ready for the New Year's.
Nah, come on. So I expect him to call in tomorrow. We are doing a show tomorrow, which then leads me to the question, what does December 31st look like for Willie Colon today? And please tell me you're going to get a little bit of sleep tonight.
That's the question. The wife asked me, I hope I get some sleep. We get invites. We get a couple party invites if we're going to do it. My wife's a big stickler. I always bring in the New Year with the family, having the kids with us. But yesterday she seemed like she's ready to dump the kids.
It's been enough.
Yeah. I think she's been very adamant, like, you know, I'm never leaving the kids. We're always going to do New Year's together. We're always going to bring in a New Year's, as a family. And I'm like, okay, good. And then yesterday I asked her and I was like, oh, what are we doing? Like, you know, are you cooking? She's like, we got invited to a couple parties. You want to go? I'm like, oh, I got to work the next morning. She's like, oh, we'll keep it tight. I'm like, what about the kids?
But does that mean you're staying until 12:01?
I think it may be like 12:30. We're out.
12:30.
Yeah.
She knows you need to be here by 5:30.
Yeah. We are.
This is going to be close to your home? Or are you driving an hour?
One is at a restaurant in the city, and then the two other are house.
Wait, time out. You live in Jersey.
Yes.
The one's in the New York City.
Yeah.
That's
and then
amazing.
Two are house parties.
Because no one goes into New York City on New Year's Eve.
No. Listen, and I know my wife, she'll be up to it till about 3 o'clock, and then she'll cancel. She'll be like...
Oh, so you don't think you'll end up going out?
No, I don't think I'll end up doing anything.
Okay. It's funny. We went out a couple years ago. Nice place. Went like 8 o'clock. Thought the place was going to be packed. And it wasn't empty, but it wasn't packed. It was kind of, it was fine. There was an audience. Yep. It was an ambience or whatever. There were people there. But the waitress was like, yeah, no one goes out to dinner anymore. Like, if they do, they go early.
to get back in the house.
And then it's house parties.
Yeah.
Which is essentially the way it's gone.
Yeah, I have a feeling we're going to go a house party route. We're just going to probably pull up with the kids somewhere, family or friends.
So you will be out.
Yeah. Yeah, we'll see. Like I said, it's up in the air. I just know by the hour it changes. She'll be geared up and then, like, she'll get tired. The kids will wear her out. She'll be like, we're not going anywhere.
I am telling you, I was quite impressed that you're going to come in tomorrow.
Why?
New Year's Day.
I don't go as hard as I used to. Before, I'm like, there's no way I'm going to be smashed in the face. Now, I'm like, I'll be fine.
What about the college? So, this is also a big college football day, as we know.
Yeah.
Will you be locked in? See, I'm not, as you know, I'm not a big college football
person.
Which
is shocking to me.
Why?
Well, I just figured you would be, you know, Rutgers and...
Well, yes. Do I go to a Rutgers game every year? I do. But, you know, for the last, God, the last 12 years...
I consider you
years,
a bit of a historian.
No, I am not a historian.
Okay,
for the last 12 years, my kids have played travel baseball, and in the fall, that's on Saturdays.
Yep.
So there was never any time to really watch college football on Saturdays for that. Prior to that, the NFL is my football time. So as I've said to you before, off the air, it's like if I'm going to dedicate Sunday from whatever time, 10 noon to 9 p.m. or sometimes in the London
Pretty
games,
much,
9
yeah.
a.m. to, like, I can't sit in front of the TV all day Saturday too. It's too much, because then during the week you've got Monday Night Football, you've got Thursday Night Football, you've got the NBA. I do like the NHL. There's only so much you can watch.
Yeah, well, listen, I think college football playoffs is the pageantry of it all, like the Rose Bowl, the Fiesta Bowl, and all that. So I'm a sucker for that. I like seeing the schools get riled up and crazy for it. Yeah. I'm old school. I grew up watching more college football than NFL. So I grew up, you know, when I was on punishment on Saturdays for being bad Willie, I grew up watching Michigan Saturday mornings.
Understood.
With Penn State. So that's kind of always been, I grew up loving the U. I loved Miami. So
what percentage of guys, whether it was Pittsburgh or New York, I guess combine the two with the Jets or the Steelers, what percentage of guys would you say weren't really aware of what was going on in the NFL?
Ooh, that's a good
like
question.
They knew their team. They might not even have known who they were playing week to week, but they were focused in on their job. But if you would have asked them what's going on, you were always in the AFC. What's going on with the Rams or with the Packers? They would have no clue.
I think a good 60%. Yeah, I think you just
60%.
Yeah, I think most guys just paid attention. They paid attention to their own bubble.
Yeah, yeah.
I don't think they looked outside. Like I didn't care what the Seahawks were doing. Like, I didn't care what the Vikings were doing. I was just worried about the Steelers.
So you weren't the
AFC North.
You weren't going home and watching, whether it was Chris Berman on ESPN or NFL Network with the highlight show at night. You weren't trying to get your fill of keeping up on where teams are. It was just, what are my Steelers doing and what are the Jets doing?
I think most guys go home and watch themselves on TV, see what the highlights look like, see what they look like. And if they got a little clip or two of somebody else that was kicking tail, fine. But I think that's how I approached it. You didn't really pay attention to other teams until you started losing. When you're winning, you're
losing. Why when you're losing? What do you mean?
Because you're trying to see who else sucks alongside of
you. Like if you're going to get a win somewhere?
Yeah.
What a terrible feeling.
Who can we steal this one from?
You ever wonder, it's amazing to me when we were talking about the NBA earlier, and you've got a team like the Cavaliers, however many, 20 games over 500. The Wizards are 20 games under 500. They're all professionals. Mm-hmm. They're all top talent. How in the hell is there such a huge discrepancy between teams? And you see it in the NFL, and you see it all over the place, because obviously someone's going to come. But, like, they're bad. It's not like they lose a lot of like, they're bad teams.
Yeah, structure matters. Guys who buy in, guys who don't buy in, having talent at pivotal positions. Like, if you don't have a quarterback, you're just saying you're going to survive in this league, period. Doesn't matter what you have around.
Sure, but there are other ways to at least look like a professional team and stay relevant and stay in games. Like, there are teams that just look awful every week.
Yeah, I think talent matters. I think depth matters. I think football is different from basketball because, like I said, if you don't have quality depth, especially when you get into the teeth of the season, you're going backwards, bro. I mean, it's just guys get injured every day, especially in and out of practice. And if you don't have your stars being able to perform at a high level consistently, especially at the quarterback position, it's just tough to have success.
Now, we have certainly seen that here, have we not?
You're not going to be that team that everybody cares about when it matters.